Welcome to Life Church McDonough Podcast. If you will, please visit us at lifechurchmcdonough.com, or you can follow and subscribe at Life Church McDonough on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. If you're in the McDonough area, please come visit us. Life happens here.
Well, God bless you, church. How's everybody doing today? It is good to be home. We enjoyed our time away last week, but we love you. We are so glad to be back to worship with the most incredible people on the face of this planet. And if you were wondering, that's you. Come on, somebody. We love you, and I am grateful to be your pastor, and it's good to be with you this morning. I want to start things off this morning with a couple announcements before we jump into God's Word. I want to say a huge thank you this morning to Mr. Chase and Kristen Harden and their team at Heritage Montessori School. I've got some pictures I want to show you. There's two pictures. First is the before of the old sanctuary over there where there was carpet. They took up all the carpet and renovated the old stage. Somebody from their team told me that stage was built for as if it was like a bomb shelter. Nothing was going to take it apart except for the will of Heritage Montessori and their team. But I want to show you the after picture. Look at how beautiful this new flooring is. It is incredible. And I believe we should do our best to give our best to our kids. Amen? Come on, somebody. We should do our best to give our best to our children. And I just want to thank their team because it looks absolutely phenomenal, and it could not have happened without them. And I'm just grateful for their partnership. And I also wanted to take a moment because right now in this moment, we have many of our staff members are traveling home. I want to take a moment and love on our staff. We've got some of the most incredible leaders that God has blessed our church with. Pastor Bree and Daniel have spent the weekend, for those of you who don't know, leading our Fresh Life student retreat all weekend long for the past, 48, 60 plus hours, morning, noon, and night. They have been loving on our kids, but they went on a kayak adventure. They went bowling. They had some fun around the bonfire. Pastor Bree organized multiple guest speakers to come and pour into our students. So all weekend long, they have been getting an opportunity to fall more madly in love with Jesus. Come on, somebody. And so I can't wait. I can't wait to see the life transformation that takes place this weekend because of their investment. And last but not least, I got a text yesterday from our kids pastor, Pastor Diamond. I love Diamond Hawkins, and her husband Neil's okay as well. But I am so excited. She texted me yesterday, Jubilee and I, and week after week leading up to this morning, she has been teaching our children about the power of the Holy Spirit. Come on, somebody. She has been teaching our kids that the power of God is available to us. And she texted us, and this is what I want us to do this morning. She texted us with anticipation. She said, Pastor, I am expecting our kids to have an encounter with the power of God, the presence of God, the anointing of heaven. I want Jesus to fill our kids' ministry with the Holy Spirit of the living God. And I am excited about that. I'm praying for that right now in this moment. Holy Spirit, fall fresh on our children. In Jesus' name. See, I share these things because I believe we have an incredible church. Come on, somebody. Let me say that again. We've got an incredible church. Life happens here. And I'm excited for what God's doing. I believe I've got a word from the Lord for us all this morning. So if you are ready, I want to dare you to anticipate. I want to dare you to get ready and excited for what God wants to do in us and through us. And if you're ready for God's word, I want to invite you to stand to your feet if you're able to this morning with anticipation, with expectation. Just like Pastor Diamond texted yesterday, I want to experience the power. It's Pentecost Sunday, church. Come on. I want to experience the power of God this morning. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Y'all thought I was going to Acts chapter 2, But I want you to go to the book of faith, because without faith, we don't get to the power of God. Come on, somebody. Hebrews chapter 11, if you've got your Bibles, starting in verse 1, it says, now faith is the confidence. Somebody say confidence. Oh, wait. We got to do that one more. You got to say it in your chest. Confidence. Come on, somebody. Confidence. Faith is confidence in what we hope for. Is anybody hoping for something this morning? Anybody desiring more of God this morning? It is a confidence in what we hope for. It's an assurance about what we do not yet see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's very command, so that what is seen was not made out of what is visible. By faith, somebody say by faith. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And this is an important scripture. And without faith, it is impossible to please our God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists. And this is the good part. He is a rewarder of those who earnestly seek him. Come on, church, let's pray one last time. Jesus, we love you this morning. Jesus, we need you. I can't do this without you. I can't do this life without your anointing. I can't live another moment without your power, without your presence intervening in my life. It is our prayer this morning, God, that you would fill this church with faith in Jesus' name. We want to please you, God. We want to please you and honor your name, Jesus. And we want to see with eyes of faith this morning. God, open our eyes today that we may see the glorious inheritance that we have in you. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. In the name of Jesus, I say it and I proclaim it. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. Every demon in hell, every power and dominion has no place in our church, in our homes, in our families. In the name of Jesus, be removed, because Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place this morning. And we pray with fervency, have your way today. Do what only you can do, great God. Empower us to believe you for greater things in Jesus' name. And somebody shouted, amen and amen. You may be seated. God bless you. I don't know about you, but I'm ready for greater things. I'm ready for the next level. I know that God has more in store for us. Oh, come on, somebody help me preach this morning. I know God has more in store for us. The greater days of old are not our best days. The best days are yet to come in Jesus' name. See, I'm excited this morning about God wants to do in us and through us. Today is Pentecost Sunday. Hallelujah. Today is the day that we celebrate that 50 days after Jesus resurrected from the dead, defeating death, hell, and the grave, settling once and for all the salvation of sinful men like me. Huh? Come on, somebody. Jesus is risen, and 50 days later, he said, I'm John the Baptist, came to baptize you with water, but you will be baptized with fire, because the Holy Spirit will fall fresh on you. I'm praying for a fresh wind of his Holy Spirit to blow into our church. Come on, somebody. May a fresh anointing fall in this place right now in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, come with somebody, please, right now in this moment. Help me invite the power in the presence of an almighty God. I want to see revival. I want to see the kingdom of heaven in my life. Fall fresh in this place, Holy Spirit. See, I'm praying for a fresh fire to fall as we worship in spirit and in truth. I'm praying for fresh passion in our hearts to be birthed, so that every one of us, every single one of us, grows more deeply and more madly in love with Jesus. And we can't do that without the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I'm praying for fresh faith to arise. God, will you make expectation well up within us that we know you've done it before, you can do it again. How many have experienced God in his wonder-working power? He's done it in your life. He's been faithful before. He can be faithful again. Come on, somebody. I'm praying for faith. Will it arise that we would be a people who look up with anticipation to the hills where our help comes from, because we know it's coming, and faith will be met with divine intervention, church. Faith is what unlocks the power of God. And today we start our June series, and the Holy Spirit put it on my heart to call this series, Time Will Tell. Somebody get that in your spirit. Time will tell. To be honest, in many ways, I'm a skeptic. I always am honest, but to be honest, I sometimes see the dark side of things. I'm a negative Nancy if I'm not careful. Anybody with me? I need to check my stinking thinking multiple times a week, and I'm an analytical person. I analyze things. I see the details. Pastor Heather was talking about how she does this too in Connect Group, and I dare you, I'm challenging this church. We need to get in the Word together on Sunday mornings in Connect Group. It's powerful, and you will love connecting and talking about it, but Robbie said he's fine. I didn't say it. Robbie did. But I'm an analytical person, so I look at the details of what's in front of me, and I draw conclusions, right? I come up with my own conclusions, and I start to think to myself, this is what's going to happen, and it's here's the deal. It's what I see that I draw conclusions off of, when what I need is faith, which is the evidence of things not seen, right? And so it's only by the power of the Holy Spirit that I've become a man full of faith. Thank you, Jesus, for your power, because I was weak, and in my weakness, you reveal yourself to be strong in me. And so that's the only way that I'm a man of faith, is because of the Holy Spirit. And if here's the deal. If I think something looks too good to be true, can somebody relate with this? If I see it as too good to be true, then I want to see it before I believe it. Can I get a witness? Time will tell, though. If someone I don't really know, here's another example. If somebody, a random person, just comes up to me and is just super nice to me, anybody have that happen this week? If they're super nice, I think to myself, what do they want? Right? You're buttering me up. Why? That's the negative connotation. See, this phrase, time will tell, in many ways, it has a negative connotation, but here's some ways that we use it. Time will tell if you really are truly my friend, right? Time will tell. Time will tell if they keep their promise. Time will tell if they're true to their word. Come on, somebody. Time will tell if the investment is going to pay off and be worthwhile in the recession that we're in. Time will tell. Do not jump ship. You don't lose unless you sell. So I'm just talking to the investors. Hold on tight, because it's going to get better in Jesus' name. Time will tell if the relationship will last. Any of you dating this morning, time will tell. Time will tell if the medication is going to work, or if the treatment your doctor has you on prescribing you, time will tell, right? That's the connotation. Many times we use this adage, time will tell, anticipating the worst while hoping for the best. We anticipate the worst while hoping for the best. And over the next few weeks, we're going to look at time will tell situations in Scripture, in God's Word, and God is going to build our faith to trust Him while we wait for great things that are in store for us. Come on, church. The writer of Hebrews teaches us faith is the confidence of things that we hope for. It's the evidence and the assurance of the things we have not yet seen with our physical eyes. The Bible is clear and direct. Without faith, it's impossible to please our God. But if you and I will believe Him with faith, then our God will be a rewarder of those who earnestly seek Him. And if you believe that you're going to see the goodness of God, give Him one more hand of praise. We love you, Jesus. We thank you that better days are coming. The title of today's message and the thesis statement I want you to adopt for your week this week. It's not just Sunday that we love Jesus. It's every day. When we wake up tomorrow morning and hit the ground running to go to work, it's Jesus. It's Jesus on Tuesday. It's Jesus on Wednesday. Come on, somebody. You need this to be the thesis statement for the rest of your week. And it is simply this, but it's powerful if you will apply it to your life. Our expectation precedes the supernatural. Our expectation, come on, is what's going to precede the supernatural. What do you mean, Pastor? I'm preaching that we will get what we expect, church. We will get what we expect. And I'm praying and I'm proclaiming that Jesus wants us to come boldly before the throne of grace with confidence, knowing that He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's Alpha and Omega. He's beginning and the end. He is able to do exceedingly and abundantly. Come on, somebody, more then we could ask, think, or imagine. And if you and I expect breakthrough, then praise God, breakthrough is on the way because we serve a God of breakthrough. Come on, somebody. If you and I expect a miracle, then praise God, time will tell that we still serve a wonder-working, miracle-working God. Praise God. Time is going to tell in the right way. It's only a matter of time before Jesus comes in and makes a way. On the other hand, if you expect someone to let you down, if you expect that, then you might just get what you expect. You might just get what you expect, church. If you expect to fail, if you expect to come short, if you expect to mess up, then you are exponentially more likely to fail than if you expect to succeed. There is a power that gets released, church, in optimism. I'm not just trying to make you feel good this morning. I know that something shifts in all of us if we will but just expect the best. Come on, somebody. If you and I expect that the promises of God are yes and amen, which is what our Bible promises us, even when times are tough, and you and I can be a person that says, oh, come on, it may look rough right now, but time will tell, because it's only a matter of time before my God makes a way where there seems to be no way. That's the expectation that I want us to get all week long. I want to lead a church that is full of people that when we're faced with difficulty, when adversity comes our way, when challenges are at our door, we will be a people that declare, my God is good and my God is faithful. Come on, somebody. My God is good and my God is faithful. He is my ever-present help in time of need. So this may look bad, but time will tell, because God is faithful. Time will tell that my Jesus is a friend that sticks closer to me than a brother. Come on, somebody. Time will tell that my Jesus is Jehovah Jireh. He's my provider. His grace is sufficient for my needs. See, I came to testify for a moment that my God has been too good for me to let me down now, because time has told before and time will tell again that He is good and He is faithful. Come on, somebody. My Bible says in Philippians 1:6, one of my favorite verses, I can be confident in this very thing, that He who began a good work in me will be faithful to complete it until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's good news this morning. It's only a matter of time. Time will tell the faithfulness of our God. See, I can relate with David when some of his leaders were shortchanging him, expecting him to fail against the giant. And David had to muster himself up and he said, you know what? You may not think I'm anything, but I have killed the lion and God has saved me from the bear. So surely He will rescue me from this uncircumcised Philistine. He wouldn't even give Goliath the respect of calling him by name. He said, my God was faithful then, and time's going to tell that He's going to be faithful when I face my giant. Come on, somebody. God sent me this morning to help us with our mindset. We've got to shift the way we think. Sometimes all of us need an attitude adjustment. There are days where my wife says, you better check yourself before you wreck yourself. Boy, you are in a mood. Come on, so y'all act like y'all are perfect. Even the best of us need reminding that God is all-powerful. God is almighty. Even the best of us. I'm saying this morning, is it okay if I repeat it? God is able. God is able. Come on, somebody get that in your spirit this morning. He is omniscient. He knows exactly everything that's going on. He knows it better than you do. He knows everything. We are limited. He knows all things and sees all things. That's the God that we serve this morning. I came to remind somebody, you're going through it. God knows what you're going through. He knows the solution. He knows when it's coming and how it's coming because he's almighty, especially the things we don't see or understand or comprehend right now. See, I believe time will tell. Time will tell that revival is going to break out in South Atlanta, Georgia, in McDonough because of Life Church. McDonough, I believe with all my heart. Maybe we don't see some things right now in this moment, but time will tell because our God wants to spread revival through Atlanta. He wants to reach people that are unreached in Jesus' name. He wants to love unlovable and rescue people out of the dominion of darkness and transfer them into the kingdom of light of the Son whom he loves. Time will tell. Revival is coming to our church in Jesus' name. I dare you to get that mindset with me. Time will tell. Revival is coming in Jesus' name. Time will tell of signs, wonders, miracles, of a fresh outpouring of his Holy Spirit. Because the Bible, the written word of God, is true. And my Bible says this in Acts chapter 2. Here it comes. There's Acts chapter 2. In the last days, God will pour out. He says, I will pour out my spirit. We are living in the last days, church. And Jesus said, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. That will happen, church, because God said it and it will be done. It's only a matter of time. Time will tell. And if you expect to be the head and not the tail, this is where the rubber meets the road and we apply it to our own lives, church. If you expect to be the head and not the tail, then we will eventually get what we expect, church. Come on, somebody. If you and I expect promotion and that the favor of the Lord is on us and that he will establish the work of our hands, then praise God, breakthrough is at our doorstep, knocking, coming in Jesus' name, because we have confidence that time will tell, because my God loves me. And my God is for me, and my God is faithful, and I'm going to say it again. You should say that yourself. My God loves me, and my God is for me, and it's only a matter of time before I receive what he's got for me. See, if you expect love and fidelity and trustworthy companionship in your marriage, then I'm telling you that it's only a matter of time before your marriage goes to the next level and you think you got something good now. Time will tell. It's only going to get better in Jesus. Those who are married need to declare over your spouse, time will tell, you are the greatest husband on the face of this planet. Time will tell, you are the greatest wife on the face of this planet, and you are great, and you're going to be even better. And if your spouse isn't the greatest yet, hallelujah, then expectation precedes the supernatural. You will get what you expect. See, what I'm trying to communicate this morning is most of the time we get what we expect. And if we anticipate negative, we're going to get negative. We anticipate breakthrough, we're going to get breakthrough. I can't express this adequately enough. This morning, we serve a God who's faithful if we place our faith and our trust in him. Galatians chapter 6, I love this. This is another one of my life verses that I go to when I feel down. It says, whoever sows to please their flesh, from their flesh will reap destruction. It's like, man, if I sow, man, I'm wore out, I'm tired, everything's broke right now. I'm broke. My wife's mad at me. My kids are angry. School's out, so I'm tired. I got to take care of children all week long. Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. Y'all get what I'm, this negative mindset that creeps in. All the economy's going downhill fast. Gas is $4.19. Oh my gosh. We get into this. We sow from that. We're going to reap from that. And it says, whoever sows to please the Spirit, you know what? No challenge is going to stop me. No challenge. It doesn't matter if the recession gets worse. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. From the Spirit,
will then reap eternal life. Let us not grow weary in doing what's right, for at the proper time, we're going to reap a harvest if we don't give up, church. We will. What Galatians is saying is time will tell. As soon as we keep going, as soon as we keep pressing, as soon as we gird ourselves up in the Lord, it's only a matter of time before we will reap a harvest, because we are not the people who are going to give up in Jesus' name. That's not our church. We're not a group of quitters. We're not people who back down when times get cold. Who's with me this morning? I will be a man of God that says, no matter what hell comes my way, I will stand in the firm foundation of my Lord and my Savior, and time will tell. It's good. Breakthrough's on its way. See, I don't know about you, but there is no way I'm giving up, church. There is no way I'm giving up, because soon time is going to tell that a harvest is coming in Jesus' name. Revival's coming. Breakthrough is coming. And I expect God is about to lift me up in due time. That's what you need to get in your spirit for yourself this morning. Why do I believe this? Why are you so optimistic this morning, Pastor? Because I believe my God is faithful. My God is faithful. Somebody help me preach that our God is faithful this morning. Come on. He's always been faithful. He's always been worthy. He's never stopped being faithful. His faithfulness and his mercy is new every morning. That's what the word says. If you doubt that my God is able, then I challenge you. It's only a matter of time. Time will tell. You don't believe it, time's going to show you, because he's going to show himself. Time will tell that he is true. He will show himself to be true and every man be a lie. See, time will tell that my God is all powerful. Time will tell that he knows what's best for us. He knows what I need. Time will tell that he is able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than I could ask, think, or imagine. That's good preaching this morning. See, God told me this morning, he sent me to help somebody this morning, that we cannot allow adversity to rob us of our anticipation. We cannot let adversity, there's tough things that each one of us are going through. Can I get an amen? We're going through adversity. Jesus said, you will have trouble, but we cannot allow adversity to rob us of our anticipation. I still know, no matter what hell comes my way, good things are on the way too. See, my son and I, we've spent, let me just let you into my personal life a little bit. My son Damien and I have spent the last couple years bonding over NBA basketball. I don't know if y'all like basketball, but I love me some NBA basketball. And my dad actually hooked me up with his subscription. He gave me his password, and y'all using somebody else's password for streaming. He gave me his password for YouTube TV, which gives me access to watch our favorite NBA team. Anyone we want, and me and my son love the Golden State Warriors. Come on, somebody. I love Steph Curry. He is awesome. He is dynamic. And tonight, right now, if you didn't know, we're in the middle of the NBA Finals, and tonight is game two. And Thursday was game one, and Neil Hawkins, Pastor Diamond's husband, who, praise God, is also the new athletic director at the Montessori School, praise the Lord. Let's not hold this against him. He's also a Celtics fan. Okay? I'm sorry. God will bless anyone, even a Celtics fan. God will forgive him, and that proves that we're all works in progress, leading us into deeper sanctification. And Neil is just in the process. And I'm obviously joking this morning. But Jose Romero, one of our neighbors and members here at the church, he invited a few of us over to the house to watch the game. And my son went over to watch, and my son is just vocal about his passion for the Warriors. And for the first three quarters of game one, I'm not going to try to drag this out, but the Warriors controlled the game. And so at the end of the third quarter, the Warriors were up by 11 points. And I'm thinking to myself, well, I'm going to sleep. They're going to win. And in the middle of the night, these members of our church, late in the midnight hour, thought it would be appropriate to text their pastor and rub it in that the Celtics had won game one. There were laughing emojis. It was over and over. I looked at my phone and I said, I'm going back to sleep. I didn't even respond. But the next day I texted them and I explained how I teach my son. I said, gentlemen, I'm training him in the way that he should go, that he will not depart from it. And I tell Damian that any team in the NBA can beat any team. One game. The Warriors lost 29 games in the regular season. They've lost just a handful in the postseason. And I reminded them, I reminded Jose, and I'm preaching to Neil right now in Jesus' name, that it is only game one that they had won. The title, it's one thing to win a battle. Come on, somebody, it's another to win the war. Hallelujah. So to the men in our texting group, they know me well enough that I've been a longtime Lakers fan, so I cannot like the Lakers and enjoy Celtics, okay? That is just a taboo. That is unrighteousness. That is false. You cannot be a Lakers fan and a Celtics fan at the same time. So I will celebrate when the Celtics lose. And so I tell Damian that it's just one game, and this is why Neil and Jose were kind of rubbing it in. Because they knew I can't stand the Celtics. They knew this already, that I love the Warriors. And I responded in the morning to their playful banter that woke me up in the midnight hour, where I should have started interceding for y'all. But I responded early that next morning. I said, time will tell. It was not a, oh, Lord, Steph Curry broke his ankle. Oh, but. No, I was preaching to them, time will tell. My Warriors are going to win in Jesus' name. I wasn't depressed. I wasn't discouraged. I wasn't disappointed or dejected. I wasn't wavering or concerned when I used this phrase, and that's how I want us to view it all month long. I wasn't allowing adversity to rob me of my anticipation. Come on, somebody. I wasn't allowing it to rob me that my Warriors are going to win the NBA Finals in Jesus' name. And that's not prophetic, and I'm just playing games. This is just an analogy for the record, but it's a good one. I said to them, time will tell, because I was implying, Celtics fans, you wait and you see. Time will tell. It may look a certain way in the moment, but I know what the end result's going to be. This is how you and I should be filled with faith in the church. This is the faith that I'm talking about this morning. We should not be living this life discouraged or downcast. We should be constantly walking around not depressed or disappointed. We should be full of faith and expectation that time will tell, because revival's on its way. Time will tell, because we have a confidence that the prodigals we've been praying for years are preparing to come home and come to their senses in Jesus' name. Time will tell, because we know that breakthrough is on its way in Jesus' name. Financial provision is coming, because the windows of heaven are opening over our church in Jesus' name. Time will tell, because we know health and wholeness is about to be mine in Jesus' name. By his stripes, I will be made whole. Time will tell, because I know that promotion is mine. A raise is coming in Jesus' name. I've been faithful with the little things, and God is going to entrust me with more, because time will tell. Come on, somebody. Time will tell, because our marriages are not going to end in devastation. A cord of three strands is not easily broken. We may be going through it right now, but time is going to tell that new love will be renewed and a new commitment is on its way in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody. Time will tell. Time will tell needs to be a faith-filled statement that we use as weapons as we expect the power of God. I said we expect the power of God. We need to expect the power of God to manifest in our lives. I don't know about you, but I'm declaring it's only a matter of time that my family will be debt-free in Jesus' name. It's only a matter of time. I'm declaring it's only a matter of time that the strained relationship that I've been praying for a long time will be fully restored. It may not look like it in the moment, but I know that my difficulty will not disrupt my anticipation. I know it's coming. Time will tell means that I'm believing it's only a matter of time before God removes the obstacles that have been in my way. He's making crooked paths straight in Jesus' name. He's parting Red Seas for me to walk on dry ground. just like he did Israel. I'm glad to lead my life into supernatural breakthrough by declaring it's only a matter of time till Jesus speaks peace to the chaos and brings peace that surpasses all understanding, because he is still a God that can look at my storm and say, peace, be still, and the waters become still in his name. See, this Pentecost Sunday, time will tell that our faith in Jesus is not in vain. It's not in vain, church. Churches all around this world will be emphasizing the events that took place 50 days after the resurrection, where the Holy Spirit came and blew into that upper room like a mighty rushing wind, and the people of the New Testament church were filled with power from on high. Come on, somebody. Today is about that power, the power of the Holy Spirit, and the faith-filled anticipation. Anticipation that God is going to do what he said he is going to do. God will do what he said. Let me say it another way. Our God is not a man that he should lie. God sent me to remind us this Pentecost Sunday, church, that we serve a God that is true to his word. When God says he will, when God says he will, when God says he will, then we can count on it and we can believe him for it. There are very few prerequisites, very few conditions of being filled with the Holy Spirit, being filled with power. When Jesus breathed his last breath and he stretched out his arms on Calvary's cross as he was brutally beaten and abused for you and for me, taking the punishment that we deserved, and he stretched out his arms and said, Father, forgive them, and finally breathed his last breath and said, it is finished. When he did that, the veil that separated us from the Holy of Holies was torn from top to bottom, symbolizing that we now have access to the very Holy of Holies of the living God. Come on, somebody, that is good news this morning. Jesus died so that all who accept him could have access to the power of the Holy Spirit. Pentecost is the perfect example of how time will tell God will do what he said he will do. The scripture in Acts chapter 1 is very clear. Acts chapter 1 verse 3, it says this: after his suffering, Jesus presented himself to his disciples, resurrected, and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. Jesus said he would die, and 3 days later he would rise again. Y'all know what Jesus did? He died, and 3 days later, he rose again, because our God does what our God says he does. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait. Somebody say, wait. Wait for the gift that my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days, you will be baptized with the fire of the Holy Spirit. See, here's the problem, church. Here's the difficult situation that we now face. Waiting is one of the hardest spiritual disciplines to cultivate in our everyday lives. Wait, I don't know about you, but I don't like to wait. Don't make me wait. I want my money. I want it now. J.G. Wentworth, come on. So we are not patient people, church. We live in a microwave culture. I want results quickly. When I go to the gym, I wish that it took one or two trips to be swole. But no, I got to wait. I got to be consistent. We hunger for instant gratification. That's the culture we live in. We are hungry for that. And one of the last instructions that Jesus gave when he walked this planet was wait. Wow. See, waiting stinks if you need something. Is that okay? It really does. It's terrible. It's terrible to wait, especially when you get, how many have been in a drive-thru for a fast food restaurant and you're just in enough for somebody to be behind you, but you're still light years away from the place that you order. Y'all ever experience this where you're like, this is taking forever, but I can't go nowhere. I'm captive now. Waiting stinks when you want something. Waiting is hard, especially in the middle of a crisis. It's hard in the middle of a crisis. It was hard to wait when my son Lucas was rushed when he was born. He had the umbilical cord wrapped around his neck, and he was blue when he was birthed. And the doctors immediately, I found out what all the gadgets and gizmos on the wall at a hospital are used for, because they started sucking things out of my son. And I was just scared to death, because it was a frightening crisis moment. And they took him away to the NICU, and they said, "We'll be back. It may take a few hours before you even see him." And it was in that crisis. Can I tell you, it was one of the hardest waiting moments of my life, to wonder what in the world is happening. God, help me, Jesus. Waiting is hard when the biopsy is being checked for cancer. Come on. It's hard. Waiting hurts when the waiting period gets extended. You expect to get an answer and then wait a second. No, it'll be sometime next week. Next week comes, no, it's going to take another week. Oh, that's the hardest thing to do when it gets extended. But because, man, if we're honest, God, heal me now. God, pay this bill now. God, make a way now. Get me out of this sticky situation right now, God. Anybody with me this morning? I want my breakthrough now. God, remove this temptation now. I want out of this right now. God, I need it now, is what's in our spirit. But I have to work hard at combating impatient spirit within me. Come on. The attitude that tries to creep into my life when I'm in a waiting period, when I'm waiting for the next thing, when I'm waiting for breakthrough. Waiting is hard, and waiting can test anyone's faith. Anyone's faith. But waiting can teach us a priceless lesson, church, if we will allow it to. See, Jesus had just died the most brutal death, and 3 days later, he had done the impossible by resurrecting. He literally walked through walls to introduce himself to Thomas, who doubted. And the disciples were on this emotional roller coaster that many of us are in the middle of right now. They went from, oh man, our Lord and our Savior is dead, to he's alive, to he's leaving. Go wait. That's hard. And Jesus tells them, wait. And that wait is partnered with expectation. Watch as the story continues. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, it says, "But you're going to go wait. But you will receive, you will receive, you will receive power. You're going to receive power. You're going to wait, but you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses to Jerusalem, to Judea, to Samaria, to the othermost parts of the world." Because after he said this, Jesus, those were his last words, and he was taken up before their very eyes in a cloud right before their sight. He said, "Wait, but wait with expectation." And after Jesus disappears, an angel of the Lord comes and comforts his disciples. And he said, "Hey, y'all don't worry. Jesus is going to come back just like he left. There's coming a day where he's going to crack open the eastern sky and resurrect the church of Jesus Christ. And the saints will be resurrected with him in Jesus." Hallelujah. Time will tell. The resurrection's coming, church. It's coming. It's coming. And if we skip ahead to chapter 2, it says in verse 1, when the day of Pentecost came, 50 days, they were all together in one place. Oh, a few minutes ago, I said there are very few prerequisites to being filled with the Holy Spirit. There are very few requirements, because God wants to fill us with his Holy Spirit. God wants to give us power. God wants to cause breakthrough. And Acts chapter 2, verse 1 sheds some light on what it takes to have an encounter with the power and the presence of God. It's very simple. It's obedience, it's unity, and it's desperation. Jesus said, "Go and wait." In Jerusalem, what did they do? They went to Jerusalem. They were obedient to the word of God. Jesus said in his teaching and preaching ministry, he said, "If you love me, you'll obey what I command." Obedience is so important to an infilling of the Holy Spirit. The next thing is powerful. It's unity. The Bible says in a different translation, they were all together in one place. They were all in one accord. And we're not talking about an accord, Honda. We're talking about they were together. They were looking for a holy moment. They knew Jesus had rose from the dead. They'd never seen a dead man walking before. And he said that something even more powerful would happen. So you better believe they weren't just like, what time is it? No, you better believe that was a church service like no other, where they were worshiping Jesus. We want you. We're desperate. We're hungry for you. Come on. If this church would get unified, where all of us grow hungry, my Bible says that the hungry and the thirsty will be filled. That's what the Bible says, and that's where the desperation comes in, where all of us get in one accord and worship the name of Jesus, and all of us say, you know what? I may not see it yet, but time will tell. It's coming. If all of us get desperate saying, you know what, I want breakthrough bad enough to start putting some things down. I want breakthrough bad enough to start dedicating some things that I've never dedicated before to my church. Jesus told them, go, and they go. They went. So they obeyed. And I'm telling you, revival would come immediately and break out in our church and in the city if we get in one accord. We get in one accord, then revival's coming. See, I've been to the upper room in Jerusalem. I've been to that place. Many of you are coming with us next year, and you're going to see it for yourself. It's a simple, cold stone room. There's nothing glamorous. There's no lights. There's no music. There is nothing glamorous about it, but something tells me that they weren't half-heartedly waiting. They were so desperate for something to happen that the whole place shook when a mighty rushing wind flew into that place. See, I believe that we're not just waiting like one does at the doctor's office before a checkup. Come on. They were interceding. They were probably crying out, oh God, Holy Spirit, come quickly. Come now. We need you. Jesus, have your way. That is what they were doing. Do what you promised. Do what you said you were going to do, Jesus. We want the power of your Holy Spirit. We are desperate for you. What would happen if the church would do that today? And then it happened. It was 10 days later, but time would tell that Jesus is true to his word. Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 2, suddenly, like a blowing of a violent wind, came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. It happened, church. Filled the whole house. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them. Come on, somebody. All of them were filled. No one was left out. All were filled with the Holy Spirit. You came this morning saying, well, I'm not good enough for God. He doesn't care about me. No, all were filled. All have access to the power of God and were filled and began to speak in other tongues that the Holy Spirit enabled them. All of them. There's been many times in my life, church, I'm just being honest, where I've questioned God's timing. I don't know about you, but I've questioned God's timing. And I feel it's safe to assume that all of us have questioned God's timing at some point. There are many Bible characters that could question God's time. I imagine Joseph was probably like, God, it's been 13 years. You gave me a dream that I believe is going to happen, but multiple trips to jail, multiple people stabbing me in the back. God, where's your timing in all this? I could imagine David as Samuel anointed him to be king, wondering years later, why in the world, God, am I hiding in caves because Saul is hunting me, trying to kill me? I believe David could probably question, God, where are you at? Time will tell. So I've questioned, but I've also found in my life, and I've come to not dissect each and every one of our personal stories, but I've come to the conclusion that God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Scripture tells us that as high as the heavens are above the earth, so his ways are higher than our ways. See, the question that came to mind as I was preparing this week is simple. Why did the disciples have to wait? Why not Jesus just touch them and give them the power right then and there? Why did they have to wait? Why didn't Jesus just immediately anoint them? Why make them go to Jerusalem and wait? The simple truth of what he called me to preach today is this: the right thing at the wrong time then becomes the wrong thing, church. The right thing at the wrong time, that's why there needs to be order in a church service. Because the right to be, it is right. I believe it's right and it's healthy and it's a good thing to be expressive and enthusiastic about the greatness of our God. Come on, somebody. We should be expressive about the love of God and how he's changed us and set us free. But if we get expressive and enthusiastic at the wrong time, then it becomes a distraction and a hindrance. And then the right thing becomes a wrong thing if it's done at the wrong time. Another example to understand this truth, I don't let my kids drive until they're 16, right? I can't wait for the day they drive themselves to practice, amen. But I'm not giving them the power and the maturity responsibility to get behind a wheel until they've developed, because the right thing at the wrong time becomes the wrong thing. But the first time I asked Jubilee to go out with me, I was 14 years young. And I asked her, man, that girl looks good. I put on my best shirt. I'm like, spray some cologne to where it smells. Hey, baby, how you doing? Y'all know what she said? She said, heck no. Because she had the sense to know that my 14-year-old self was in no place to lead a relationship towards heaven. I was not the right. Obviously, we've been married for 19 years, and praise Jehovah that he blinded her eyes. So it's the right thing, but at the wrong time, it was the wrong thing. See, Jesus said, go and wait in Jerusalem. I want to invite the band to come. He said, go and wait. Wait for my promise. Wait for the thing that I told you would happen. Wait for the very gift that you've heard me teach about over and over again. It's coming. Time will tell. But wait. Go and wait until the Holy Spirit comes. And then Jesus made a promise. But one of the most difficult requirements to receive this promise was to wait. Because I want to move now. I want to move right now. I want a healing right now. I want provision right now. And I think many times, unfortunately, people get turned off to the gifts and the anointing of the Holy Spirit because they come to a moment like this where there's an emotional drive. It's Pentecost Sunday, and we know that the Holy Spirit is real and has power, and people come and they respond to an altar, and something in them wants desperately for the power and the presence of God to do something. But then in a holy moment, there's times where God says, you know what? Just wait. Because I want your faith to be built. I want faith. It is impossible to please me without faith. And so unfortunately, a lot of times what has happened over the history of our lives is pastors in Pentecostal churches all across the world have said, you know what? Come to this altar and receive the power of the Holy Spirit. And in that moment, nothing happens. And then unfortunately, what we do is we say, you know what? It must not be real. And that's such a lie from the pit of hell. Because time will tell that the power of God is available to all of us. See, Jesus sent me this Pentecost Sunday to remind someone who's been in a waiting pattern. I think there's probably a lot of us. Oh, we're waiting for Richard to be made whole. We're waiting, and it's been a hard wait. It's been a hard season. You've been waiting on healing. You've been waiting on your provision. God, why have I not gotten the promotion? Why don't you provide? He sent me to say and encourage you, if that's you, if you've been waiting and it's been hard, he sent me this morning to say, time will tell. I'm true to my word. Get back a hold of your faith this morning. He did it before, and he's going to do it again, church. Come on. He's done it time and again, and he is faithful. They waited in the upper room. They said, God, we're praying, we're seeking, we want you. And they waited for days, and time told as the Holy Spirit fell in power. See, God sent me this morning to communicate this truth. We serve an on-time God. We serve an on-time God. And his timing is not our timing. But he will be faithful if we will trust him. Our expectation is what precedes the supernatural. Our anticipation and our faith being built up and edified and grown as we wait and we pray and we wait and we pray and we stay together in unity and we pray and we get desperate for God and we pray and we come together in one accord and we pray. Oh, it's only a matter of time before the Holy Spirit is going to fall. I'll stop with this powerful story that happened. I'll never forget an experience we had in Columbus just a few years ago, where one of the students in our ministry, his name was Isaac, and his family owned a horse business, and Isaac, as a teenager, was training people to ride horses, and one morning we got a phone call. Isaac was out training a group how to ride a horse, and the path that he was taking them on had just this small little patch where there was a road beside him. And for some reason, they've taken that path time and time again, but for some reason, whenever they were walking the horses along that path, a car drove by and spooked the horse and threw Isaac off of the horse directly into the car, head first. The trauma and the impact was so hard that it shattered the helmet on his head. And immediately Isaac was unconscious. His skull was cracked open in multiple places. He was bleeding both externally and internally. And we got a phone call that morning saying Isaac's being life-flighted. He's being life-flighted to the hospital in Atlanta, and they're not thinking he's going to last more than 12 hours. Need to pray. At our church in Columbus, they had what we called the prayer tower. It was a building dedicated that morning, noon, and night. Anyone could come and pray. There was soft music, and there were kneeling benches where you could come and pray and intercede. And y'all, the whole prayer tower was consumed with the youth ministry. Students from everywhere, all day long, morning, noon, and night. God, in one accord, they came in together in unity, and they got desperate. They got desperate for an almighty God to make a way where there seemed to be no way. And the doctors were saying the hemorrhaging in his brain was bulging so much that his brain was protruding out of the cracks in his skull, and it was only a matter of time before it killed him. And even if he did live, they said that it was such a bad experience that he probably would never speak. He probably would never walk. He would never be the same because of the extensive brain damage that he was to have. But the people of God, I said the people of God, came together, and we stayed in that prayer tower, and we interceded and said, Holy Spirit, we need you. Holy Spirit, we can't do this without you. And we interceded, and you better believe this is how God works, because it's only a matter of time. When he landed in the helicopter and got off, obviously was rolled off, at that very moment, one of the leading neurosurgeons in the southeast of the United States of America had just finished a surgery at that very location. And he heard the story of what had just landed, and he said, I'll do it. And immediately Isaac was put into surgery. And you better believe, I'm excited to proclaim that just last week, Isaac was married to his new wife because he can walk, he can talk. There is no permanent damage, no residual. He's got a scar all the way across his head, but that is all that he has because our God is faithful, and time will tell that God can make a way where there seems to be no way. As you stand to your feet all across this room, I want to share one last piece of scripture, and I know this isn't going to be on the screen, but this is so important, church. It says this in verse 5 in chapter 2. It says, "Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every tribe and nation under heaven. And when they heard the sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, and because each one of them heard." Why did they have to wait? Why, Holy Spirit, did you wait? Why didn't you give me breakthrough right now? It says all of them came together and heard them speaking in their own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them, hears this good news in our own native language?" Let me say it: Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Pygria, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own language. Wow! In our own tongue. And amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What in the world does this mean?" I share this with us for this final point. I share this to indicate that your breakthrough is not just your breakthrough. Your breakthrough, your miracle, is not just your miracle. Because God knew in His sovereignty that 50 days after His resurrection, all of them would be together in a feast, a festival. All of these people would be traveling purposely to Jerusalem to be in one place at one time. And the reason Jesus said, "Wait," is because your breakthrough is not just your breakthrough. Time will tell, your breakthrough's coming. But when you get your breakthrough, it's going to be such a testimony. It's going to be such a representation that I had faith in the middle of my mess to believe God for my rescue. And it's going to be at such a time where it doesn't just save you. It saves everyone that knows you. It proclaims the goodness of God to everyone around you. It becomes a testimony where God is lifted up above your circumstance. So I came this morning to preach to somebody. Time will tell. With every head bowed, every eye closed, all across this room, you'd say, "Pastor, I'm in waiting. Pastor, I've been waiting. I'm in a period where I've been waiting. But I want the anointing of God to fall fresh on my life. I want what you have been preaching about. I need the Holy Spirit. I can't do this in my own strength. I can't do this in my own power. I need a breakthrough. I've been waiting on God, and I want to be obedient to Him. I want to be in unity with the church, and I want to get desperate for a fresh anointing." It doesn't matter what your need is. It may be you have made mistakes and fallen short of the glory of God. His forgiveness is for you right here and right now. His grace wants to be lavished on you. If it's an external situation that has been weighing heavy on your heart, keeping you up at night, then I'm praying and I'm proclaiming this morning, it's only a matter of time. Time will tell. Your breakthrough is on its way. So if that's you this morning, you'd say, "Pastor, that's me. I want the Holy Spirit. I want Him in a fresh way. I need fresh power. I've been waiting, If that's you, we're going to start to worship, and I want to invite you to this altar, and we want to pray that a fresh fire, a fresh wind of His Spirit comes and baptizes you in a new way so that you can be a testimony to the world around you that my God is faithful even when I'm not. God, we love you this morning. We trust you this morning. Let anticipation fill this room right now. Let expectation be our heartbeat, God, because we know that expectation is what precedes the supernatural. So Holy Spirit, one more time, we say have your way. Do what only you can do in Jesus' name.